Welcome to Monday afternoon, taking you through, and we're going to start with our sound advice as always, this time of day, on a whole range of topics. As Sarah was saying before, she picked up a little gardening tip last week. You're very welcome, Sarah G. Actually put it into action. That's the only other thing you have to do now. Today we are talking gadgets. The gadget detective is with us, Fevzi Turkap, and he gets to try all the new tech stuff so you don't have to. And then he tells you what's worth getting and what's worth avoiding. Fevzi, how are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you. How are you?
Great. Yeah, thanks. I'm all right, Tar, very much indeed, this afternoon. So what do you want to start with today? What have you got for us?
Okay, so our gadget, the first one, is actually a piece of software. It's a service that you can subscribe to, and it's called Password Management Software. And it is one solution to the bane of our modern existence, which is that we are told, as we sort of go around the internet and use various services, be it shopping or banking or what have you, social media, we're told not to use the same password anywhere, you know, just to have different password everywhere, and not to write them down. And that's kind of a problem.
So how big do you think our brains are? Are they like computers? No, they're not.
Exactly, yes. But luckily, we're using a computer of sorts when we're accessing the internet, and therefore there is a solution. Now, I have to say, it's not a perfect solution. There is no such thing as perfect security. But and there are risks to the approach that I'm going to outline to you now. But on balance, I think it is a far better way of dealing with risks than having the same password for everything. So the problem is, if you use the same password for more than one service, if one of your services gets hacked, let's say, you know, your social media account gets hacked or your email or whatever, they can use that password. They'll run it when they steal it. They'll run it against all the popular websites to see if you've got your email address and same password used anywhere else. And
fair
if
enough.
You have, so one breach can lead to multiple breaches in terms of that, and you can have your identity stolen, you can have your money stolen. So how do you get around it? Well, there's a few things you can do. So LastPass is the piece of software that we're talking about. So LastPass, as in the last password you'll ever need.
Yep.
And there's two main rafts to the service. First of all, it generates for you unguessable passwords. So one of the problems we have when we're creating passwords is it's very difficult to be truly creative and produce passwords that are easy to remember and yet, you know, unguessable. Yeah, so you shouldn't use your name or your family member's name or dates of birth, you know, of you know, loved ones or whatever. So how can you do it? So first of all, it generates a unique password for you. So you can say, for example, how many letters or characters you want the password to be. You can say whether it should just be alphanumeric letters and numbers, or if it can include or should include special characters like, you know, hash or exclamation mark or what have you. So you can set it to match the rules of the particular website, and then it will generate one for you. And if you don't like it, just keep hitting generate till you get one you like. Doesn't really matter what it looks like, because you never have to type it in again.
And you certainly don't have to remember it, which is the godsend.
No. So what happens then is that all these different passwords that it generates are put into a vault. And then that vault is protected by a single password. So that's the convenience, but that's also the risk, because if they get into the vault, they get everything, right? So you're no better off than having used the same password everywhere. But what you do is you then protect the vault using what's called second factor authentication. So factors can be, for example, something that you know, like a password. It can be something that you are, like your fingerprint or your eye, or your face, and it can be something that you own, like a message that goes to your mobile phone. So you, in theory, at least, you have to have the mobile phone in your hand to read the code and enter it. So if you switch on second factor authentication, you can even buy these little dongles. They look like a little bit like thin USB thumb drives. They're called YubiKeys, YubiKeys. It's a Swedish company. They do these little keys, and you plug it into a USB socket, and then you put your finger on it, and it does it that way. So it's what I'm saying is, you lock the vault with a password and then a second factor.
And so, what do we know about the companies that supply this service, and just how secure they are, and is there sort of records of knowing how successful they've been at protecting people's passwords? Because it is a case of all your eggs in one basket, And so if they get into that, then they've got everything, haven't they? So
I mean, there are two sort of big names in this area. There are, you know, there are many, but there is LastPass, which we're talking about today, and there is also one called OnePassword, so O-N-E password or one word. I think you're right, because you're putting a good deal of trust in them.
The people who run it, and you know, are they up to the job and all of that? Because you're paying for the service, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're taking super good care of you.
Yeah, so I think yes, I would tend to trust them, but of course, you know, nothing can be 100% secure. Yeah. It's like, for example, when you use a VPN, what, you know, virtual private network to, you know, add to your security and your privacy, you're changing the person you trust from being your internet service provider to your VPN provider, who, for all you know, could be owned by the FBI. You know, so, you know, there is always, it's always an element of this. By the way, you said you're paying for it. There are paid plans on this. So there is a free one, which works very well. It gives you unlimited passwords. It's only on a single device, be it a computer or a mobile. It allows you to save and autofill your passwords. And by the way, that's what happens. Once you unlock the vault at the beginning of your surfing session, as it were, then as you go around the internet and you go to the different sites, it automatically just fills in the usernames and passwords for you.
So it makes it a little bit more seamless for you as you go around. I've got to stop my password again.
Yeah, no, it's more like, you know, being on the internet in the year 2000, when, you know, we didn't have to worry quite much, you know, as much about these things. So it autofills passwords. It supports multi-factor authentication. It's got unlimited passwords, and that's all free. There's two scales above that. You can pay the equivalent of £2.60 a month. And then you get, in addition to all the free features, you get 1 gigabyte of encrypted file storage. You get the ability to access your passwords on a multiplicity of your devices. And then for $3.40 a month, there's premium plus family combined. So that gives you all the premium features that I just referred to.
But you'd say something worth considering, you know, when those password managers, you've been talking about LastPass today.
I would say, yeah, look, I would say, you know, you're right to be cautious, but I would say the risk of the alternative is greater now. The risk of trying to remember your passwords, either writing them down or using the same one or some simple variation, that they get hacked so easily.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's far better to use a password manager, in my opinion. LastPass is one password is another one to consider.
Next up, Fevzi, you've got a portable power station. Just how much power is this going to give us for what?
Oh, God, this thing is humongous. So this is like, so, you know, like, right, first of all, this, even with the discount, is about £1,600. So it is not cheap.
Uh-huh.
But this thing can run a fridge for 11 hours, you know, when the power goes down. So, you know, those little devices you get so that you can just top up your mobile phone.
Yeah, it's a little box, isn't it?
Know? Yeah. So it's similar to that, except it doesn't just provide USB power. It'll provide mains power. It'll provide all sorts of power outputs. So you've got sort of 12-volt outputs and, you know, a multiplicity. You can even do wireless charging on it. It's got a couple of wireless charging pads on the top. So it's good for home when you get a power cut, if you've got devices that you have to have. So, for example, if a person's got sleep apnea, they might sleep with a machine called a CPAP machine, which blows air down their throat to keep their airway open to stop them from stopping breathing at night, right? It's not much fun if, you know, your electricity packs up and then you've got no CPAP. So something like that, good for camping, good for, you know, camper vans, that sort of thing. And also for construction, if you're doing any work where, you know, it's not easy to run a cable to a particular location, you can actually run power tools off this thing. So to give you an idea, it will run a CPAP machine for 42 hours. It will run a laptop for 28 hours, television set for about 15 hours, fridge for 11. It'll do a hairdryer, 1600 watt hairdryer for over an hour.
Actually, you've got to have a lot of hair to dry that much hair, haven't you?
Well, you know, I don't know.
It's not going to bother me. what's the name of this thing, Fevzi?
It's called the brand is Bluetti, which is Bluetti. The product is called an AC200P for Papa, and it's a portable power station. List price on this thing is 2000. Currently, I'm seeing it sold for about 1600. Weighs a ton. It weighs about almost 25 kilos, to give you an idea. It's a big, heavy beast of a thing. And the other thing is, when you decide that electricity is just too expensive, you can buy solar panels and plug it in, and you can charge the internal battery using solar panels.
Right.
And you see, the thing is, having solar panels in your house is great, but you've got to have a battery to put the electricity in. Otherwise, you've got to use it or lose it, as it were. Some people use solar panels to charge cars, electric vehicles. But other than that, you need a battery. So this could act as the battery for your home, combined with some solar panels.
So not everybody, but if you need that backup and maybe you're a camper or a caravaner, that might be for you. And finally, I think the iPod is being discontinued sooner or later. But the creator of the iPod, which really was a game changer for transporting our music around, means we could do away with cassettes. What's the creator of the iPod been saying?
So the creator of the iPod, or Tony Fadell, who's credited as being one of the creators of the iPod at Apple, one of the sort of creative minds behind it, he's been talking about this so-called metaverse, which is Meta, previously known as Facebook's idea that the internet will evolve into this sort of virtual space that we will inhabit. So instead of the internet being screens that we peer at, it will be this immersive experience in which we exist using avatars, that's to say, you know, a representation of ourselves, a physical representation in a virtual world. And he, and I think he's quite right in saying that it may risk creating more trolls and more damaging human interaction.
I think we've started seeing that already, haven't we, with reports of some places where very inappropriate content and people being ganged up on in virtual rooms has already been the case.
Yeah, and it will become more so, because you just think about what people do to other people inside an online game. Mm-hmm. I mean, they kill them. They torture them. They do all sorts of things to them, you know. And it just seems that when there is that, you're not looking another human being in the eye, that human beings have got the capacity to be much crueler and arguably more violent to each other. And we kind of see a version of that, don't we, is how people behave when they're in their cars. If people can be very bad-tempered and you get road rage and all of this when they're in their cars, and there's this sort of like they're in their bubble and someone else is in their bubble, as it were, and they're not in close physical proximity to them, that people misbehave. People would not necessarily behave in that way if they were quite literally face to face with one another. Similarly, people are ruder to each other through email than they would be to your face, I suspect.
Yeah.
And in the same way, we will see the reason why this is a problem is because we're going to be living in this space increasingly as the metaverse becomes more realistic and more useful. You know, we're going to be spending more and more of our time there. It's going to be the world.
We need to take our real world manners with us. In the meantime, there's more on that story on the BBC News website on the business pages. Fevzi, thank you for this week. Good to speak to you. We'll see you next time around.
Pleasure.
Thanks.
Cheers.
A lot. GadgetDetective.com, the place to go. And also, Fevzi has a podcast as well. So search Gadget Detective for that. GadgetDetective.com.